There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who with it now?
Welcome in, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 to the bullpen. Brian McDonald, Sean Manks, Cam Smith, John Delmer with you here on Saturday till 1:30 because the Aggies and Auburn follow us with the pregame starting at 1:30, as you might be able to do the math there. But we got 90 minutes to talk Texans, maybe a little bit of Astros, and of course Mount Rushmore plus one. Not at 1:30 this week. It'll be at 1:15. We'll close out the show there. But, boys, let's talk about this Texans offense as we get into the show.
Do we have to?
I mean, I think we kind of
yeah.
do.
Yeah, at least it's
I mean, we could start with, I could ask you how your day was.
At least it's, no. All right, let's start with, at least it's 90.
Let's start with some formalities. Sean, how was your day so far? It's only noon, but how's your day going?
It's pretty well. It is only noon. Right. It's pretty noon. Like
I'm 2 hours
into my day.
2 hours. See, I'm a few more hours in. I already played two college football games in one of our dynasties this morning. 2-0. Thank you. Although I struggled against Rutgers. They almost caught me slipping.
Okay.
Cam, your day? I know you forgot your deodorant, but you're still here anyway.
Yeah. I am. Great, good day so far. 1 more hour awake than Sean.
Other than the deodorants.
So 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours? What time did you wake up?
Over under 4.5.
Okay, John, what do you take? 4.5? Sean's at the over under. How long I've been awake at 4.5?
I'll go over.
It's way over. It's 7 hours.
Yeah.
You've been up.
Yeah. I've been up since 5.
Well, you know, older people get up earlier in the morning. Cam.
Dang it, come
What'd
on,
What'd you have to do?
Homer.
Yeah, I get it. He eats
correct,
dinner at 4:30.
What'd you have to do, milk the cows this morning?
No, I just get up, man. I just get up, man.
He had to go out to the front door and get the milk from the jars.
No, I greet the newspaper boy. You know, I ask him how he's doing. I'm on my morning...
stroll? Yeah.
No,
with your cup of coffee?
There's like an old person term for that. My morning constitutional or something?
I don't know.
There's an old person term there somewhere.
Just leave it to Beaver, all right?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think you've talked about this, Sean, obviously on a much different scale than I'm on. But sometimes, like, your work schedule, like, just messes with your sleep clock and you never recover. Yours is obviously on the other end of this. But I used to do a shift years ago when I was at what's now iHeartRadio, where I was 4 a.m. to noon. And so I was up at 2:30 every day.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's like if I sleep past 6, it's a miracle.
Wow.
Anyway, no one cares about that. What people do care about is this blazing Texans offense that's lighting up the scoreboards every week. So Texans offense, I mean, I don't know what we could say that would break new ground on how bad this offense has been, but a few numbers to point out as we get into this conversation. Right now, in 2025, they ranked dead last in points scored, averaging less than 13 points per game. I think it's 12.6. 29th in yards, 28th in plays ran, and they're last in first downs gained. Like, this is not just a bad offense. This is an historically bad offense, honestly, through three games. So bad that when you compare them to the 2002 Texans led by David Carr in the inaugural season for the Houston Texans, they actually ranked behind that year's team in points per game. That year with David Carr, Jabbar Gaffney, I don't even remember who the running back was. I think it might have been Jonathan Wells. I mean, obviously, they're an expansion team. That team averaged 13.3 points per game.
Was it not Dominique
Davis? Almost a touchdown less. Sorry?
Was it not Dominique Davis?
No, he came in year two.
Oh.
Yeah, year one was Jonathan Wells, who was a rookie, and they had a veteran who I think only lasted one season because he decided to retire and become a rapper. I forget that guy's name. It escapes me at the moment. Not that it matters, but you pull it up on Football Reference.
I'm gonna have to now
if you're concerned.
Well, they won't have the rapper part.
If Dominic Davis was not their running back in year one,
millionaire?
No, it was not millionaire. God, I wish I could remember his name. But Cam will find it here in a second. So, as this offense, look, I get that they've got a lot of talented pieces. Obviously, C.J. Stroud, we believe in mostly. Nico Collins, I think the Iowa State rookies, you know, there's promise there. And Christian Kirk will obviously make more of an impact as the season goes on. But honestly, until the offensive line and the play caller change, Sean, I don't see any reason for optimism. Will it get better? Sure. Maybe they'll go up to 16 points a game instead of 12. But I don't see any reason for optimism that there's going to be a dramatic shift in this, the success of this offense on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, I think the only room for improvement is that there's basically only room for improvement. Like, there's only like a dead cat bounce of you just will have a game where you score 20 points at some point this season.
Maybe.
But I don't see any, like, huge sweeping. I mean, you might get... I mean, Nick Haley gets a little bit better at his job or gets fired, and the replacement is just a little bit better. Bill Lazor.
Maybe.
Bill Lazor.
Like, I've heard people... Yeah, Lasers. Shout out to Jonathan Gannon. But, like, I've heard people say... Like, I mean, if they fire Nick Haley, I'm not blinking an eye because it'd be deserved.
Yeah, it's just... Who's up next?
Okay, let's say it's Gerard Johnson. Let's still say it's Bill Lazor. It's Popovich. Whoever. It doesn't matter. Like, they're not radically changing the offensive scheme once the year started. They don't have time to install a new...
Just getting better at play call and, like, sequencing the plays in which
Would be the best hope you could have, right? Like, it's not going to look dramatically different. Maybe he calls a few more creative plays.
Yeah,
He calls them in a better order or something,
Or honestly just being like, hey, CJ Stroud, what do you want me to run? Like, at this point...
That is a frustrating part of it, because that was part of the talk, and we're going to do this in the second segment, but part of the audio that came out, you know, like during OTAs and training camp was CJ talking, and really not just CJ, everybody talking about how this was an offense tailored to its players, set to maximize their own individual talents, not running... You know, just what the offensive coordinator wanted to run, trying to make the players fit his system. But it's been so far through three games been the complete opposite of that.
Yeah, no one would ever want the system that we've seen.
No. It feels like an out. Obviously a little bit of an outside here, Cam, as a Chargers fan, but I think a lot of people had hopes that Nick Haley coming from a Rams system, this offense was going to look a little bit like that. Obviously, it wasn't going to be as good because you're not Sean McVay. You got the guy that brought Sean McVay coffee, as Sean rightfully pointed out weeks and months ago. But instead, we got like kind of this throwback to 2005 Patriots, except for, oh no, you don't have Tom Brady running it. What's been your overall impression of this Texans offense and the direction they've gone with the type of system they're running?
I mean, look, I get with all the coaching trees, all these offenses are going to have, you know, variables that come from other teams. But it seems like with the Texans, for as long as I can remember, whenever they try and mimic another offense, it never goes well.
And doesn't it feel like it's always the Patriots?
Well,
it's just because Bill O'Brien was here for like 6 years.
I was
going to
say, it's been the Patriots for a decade almost. But, going back further, it was like... running the Shanahan stuff with Kubiak, which
and then
work.
2 years with Slowick. Like, really, they've either mimicked the Shanahan tree or I don't even know what you would call the Patriots tree, because it's really based upon Tom Brady.
The Josh McDaniels tree?
I guess, but the Tom Brady system predates Josh McDaniels.
The Charlie Weiss tree?
It really is. Yeah, it's really the Charlie Weiss tree.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think I read something where they're still, like, the run game, they're trying to mimic the Rams, and the passing game, they're still trying to mimic the Patriots.
Yeah.
And it's just like, clearly trying to run the Patriots has never really worked for you.
Unless
you
have Tom Brady.
Yeah, so why are you trying to resort to that? And I think a more glaring factor is the fact that this team can't even average 13 points a game. Like, averaging 12.7, like, that's so terrible. Like, you're not even averaging...
Yes, it is.
You're not even averaging a touchdown and two field goals.
No.
You're not even averaging, two touchdowns.
It's bad.
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
you're right, Cam. It's terrible. Will Kunkel yesterday brought up, he just pulled up like the bottom of the leaders in the NFL, like the distance between the Texans and 31 in terms of points scored.
Right.
And it's like that. There's an empty Coke bottle down here.
It just fell down.
Yeah, I just kicked it.
Who sits it? Well, Will was in that seat yesterday. Is that Will's?
It might be Will's.
It might be Will's.
The Cleveland Browns are the next lowest scoring team at 15.3.
Yes, another field goal.
Let's pause there. Okay, one, there's a field goal gap, which is bad, between you and the 31st best offense in the league. But you're trailing the Cleveland Browns. I think that should be the most embarrassing statement. I mean, this is a team starting Joe Flacco, giving Jerome Ford, for some reason, still a fair amount of playing time.
Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman on the outside.
Yeah, breaking in a rookie tight end with Harold Fan, and although David Njoku is also there. That is a team nearly completely devoid of talent on the offensive side, and they are outscoring you. And, okay, you've played the Rams. They played the Packers.
And won.
The best defense in the league. And, they won.
And they scored,
I think, 13 points in that game, which outscores your average for the year.
And they should have beat the Joe Burrow Bengals in week 1.
They should have, yeah. They should have.
So, like the Browns are actually, way better than you right now.
I hadn't even thought about that. But as we stumbled upon it, that might be the most damning thing I could say about the Texans offense so far, that they significantly trail an offense in the Browns that's led by Joe Flacco, Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Jerome Ford, and Harold Fan, and the rookie tight end.
And they've been looked at as like the clown show, the poop show the last 5 years, and you are below them. And what are you?
I have to ask, who won the Deshaun Watson trade?
713-780-3776. Now, if you do want to weigh in, though, on the HR and Peterson line, please do throughout the show, 713-780-3776. All right, we're going to go to break here. On the other side, we're gonna play some audio from Diana Rossini, who kind of sent some speculation storms out there about what might be going on behind the scenes with the Texans. And then we're also going to maybe briefly hit on this boring-ass game against the Titans coming up tomorrow, and then have some fun with some of the audio that hasn't aged well since OTAs and minicamp with the Houston Texans earlier this year. That and more when the bullpen returns. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back into the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, Sean Mapes, and John Belmer with you here until 1:30 before we hand it over to the Aggies as they take on Auburn in College Station. Tracking all the big college football games going on today, including Notre Dame. Joe will be happy about this. Up 21-10 so far at Arkansas. That's playing out kind of like I think most people expected, that Arkansas's destined to fire their coach. I don't know if it happens in season or after season, but that's a program I think's heading for a reset. Anything? What stands out to you most on this college football slate today, Sean? What are you looking forward to most?
Yeah, I was going to say anything in progress or just in general.
I mean, well, yeah, take it anywhere you want.
To me, it's the fact that we have at least three games that would be the best game in most college football weeks, and we have them all today. Whether that's LSU Ole Miss at 2:30. You got Oregon and Penn State at 6:30 kicking off at the same time as Alabama at Georgia. I mean, to me, Penn State, Oregon's the most interesting just because it's two teams that are seem really, really good and are completely untested so far this season. The best team that Oregon's played is, take your pick, either Oregon State or Oklahoma State, and Penn State's played nobody. So to me, it's a big test for a young Ducks team going to Happy Valley to play a team that hasn't won in these spots, and both teams are very unproven.
Yeah, I'll be very interested to see if Dante Moore is ready for that spot. I mean, obviously coming from UCLA, hasn't played a lot of big-time games. This is certainly, unless I'm forgetting some game, other game in his career, this has got to be the biggest atmosphere he's ever stepped into. And like you said, the biggest game on their schedule so far, whether it be Oklahoma State or Oregon State, ain't saying much. I know Penn State's played nobody. Oregon's also kind of played nobody. Mm-hmm. The other game of their schedule at Northwestern, which they handled easily. They're up 34-0 in that game before they gave up a couple touchdowns at garbage time. But locally, Cam, your Cougs got a win in a more difficult fashion than most expected.
That's why I woke up so late. The Cougs kept me.
I mean, the Cougs going into that game 13.5. Thank you, Johnny. Cougs going into that game a 13.5 point favorite, Cam, but a little bit of a struggle to get the job done in Corvallis. But what are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was a little nervous, especially since Oregon State hadn't won a game going into it, and Cougs were down a lot of that game.
They were down at half. They were down going to the fourth. They were down 14 at one point in the fourth quarter.
They're down going into overtime. Yeah. No way,
it was tight. Not technically possible.
But you know what? I'll give it to Connor. He led that team back in the fourth quarter and put him in a position to win. I mean, it was an ugly win, but at the end of the day, is it weird that does it seem like U of H plays on Thursdays and Fridays almost more than Saturdays now?
I think that is a reflection of where don't take this the wrong way. I think that's a reflection of where your program's at.
I mean, I don't mind it because it spotlights it. It's just
My point. Like if U of H plays on the main slate of Saturday, they get buried.
Yeah.
If you play on Thursday or Friday night, you're highlighted.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if the Tech game is.
I think that's
on that, there. That's a Saturday. That should be. That yeah, I don't know. Is it a Saturday?
They already have it. I'll pull it up.
Yeah. That date would already be established, but that is definitely one I'm looking forward to. I think Tech's probably going to be favored in that game. I would assume.
Yeah, Tech is really good.
Tech took it to you. Well, although it was close for a little while, they took it to Utah in the second half. And UH, I mean, I guess their most impressive win would be the Colorado win. But you know, they played SFA. They haven't played a murderer's row so far, so I would expect Tech to be at least a small road favorite.
I mean, yeah, you hate going against your own team, but Tech, and this is a weird year too. Not only is Tech good offensively, but you don't really talk about Tech being good defensively.
Not historically, no.
And
they kind of won the game last week on defense.
Yeah, so they're a pretty well-rounded team. But so the Oregon-Penn State game, that's intriguing because if I'm not mistaken, Franklin has an abysmal
win loss record, 20 or something
against top 10 teams.
Yeah,
so
or
this
8
is
and 20, something like that.
I almost wonder, like, how long are they going to? I mean, they're not going to fire him.
No, I mean, as long as he's winning 10 games, to the playoffs.
He just has to get the monkey off his back at some point. And honestly, Dan Lanning's in a similar spot, a little less so because he doesn't have as many years. But as far as road wins, big road wins that Oregon's had over Lanning's times, there's not really that many.
No, like their biggest win was at home against Ohio State. I'm struggling to think of the big road win.
No, they lost in Seattle playing Michael Penix the year.
Right,
that
they lost to Washington twice that year.
Yeah, and then obviously in the Rose Bowl they get smoked by Ohio State last year. So you know it's an interesting spot for both teams, and I think you can make a case that whoever wins could be number one.
Yeah. I would certainly say. I'm trying to think. I don't know if Penn State would jump Ohio State.
Yeah, they'll probably be two.
Yeah, I think you're probably looking at the winner being two. All right, let's get back into Texans. So Diana Rossini of ESPN said something interesting, and we'll have some audio here for this, John. I don't think it's shocking that considering how bad the Texans offense has played, as we laid out in the first segment, fewest points scored in the league, fewest first downs in the league, scoring less points per game right now than the David Carr 2002 Texans. It's not surprising that an offense that bad would have some rumbling behind the scenes of being unhappy with how things are going. But let's hear from Diana Rossini right now, who lays out something kind of interesting with some speculation about behind the scenes unhappiness.
Diana, is CJ Stroud any good? What is going on with Houston?
It's a good question. I'm writing about it this week. CJ Stroud is really good. I think they are still trying to figure themselves out on offense. They have a new play caller. They have a different looking offensive line. I still think they're working some kinks out. So he's still good. I'm not in the camp of he's ruining his opportunity here to get some mega extension. I still think CJ Stroud can play. I just think there's still a lot of work to be done, and there's some things going on behind the scenes that I think we're going to find out about soon.
So I've seen some people, mostly Texans, or Stressing or Blessing on Twitter, make the claim that clip is probably about the release of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. While I don't dismiss that as a possibility completely, she says that after being asked about C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
And immediately following,
talking about C.J.
Immediately following, well, he's not as bad as he's played. So I don't see why she would say something about C.J. Gardner-Johnson, like news about him coming, immediately preceding being asked about C.J. Stroud and talking about C.J. Stroud. So I think I know where you are at. You're at from our conversation yesterday. But Cam, I'm interested. When you hear that, to me, that sounds like, if I'm going to handicap this, like the favorite of what the behind the scenes grumbling could be would have to be C.J. Stroud being unhappy with not only with the performance of the offense, but maybe even the offensive scheme from Nick Caley.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all wondering to know what happened with the whole C.J. Gardner-Johnson thing. But at the same time, he was here for two games, and you basically gave up nothing for him. So it has to be.
I mean,
about,
you gave up Kenyon Green, former first round pick,
who also got released Kenyon by Philly. Green. So
yeah, it was a trash for trash.
I'm interested in knowing, because the only thing that we've really heard about C.J. Gardner was, we wish him well, but we're looking out for like the best interest of the team. So not specific. There's obviously more that goes into it, but this definitely has to be about C.J. Stroud being unhappy.
Yeah,
there's no way you're going to write an article.
Sean and Will and I talked about this yesterday. Like CJ, and this is not a criticism, CJ, but he has a history of this. Sean, you looked at the name. I've already forgot what you told
Kevin
me.
Kevin Wilson.
Kevin Wilson. So, well, when CJ was at Ohio State, he didn't respect his offensive coordinator initially, Kevin Wilson, so much to where he would only talk to Ryan Day, the head coach, about the offensive scheme. Like, he had that little respect for him. We obviously found out, over the last year, and especially in quotes this offseason, he didn't seem to have much respect for Bobby Slowick. Like, this is not, well, I don't see it as a criticism, because if you're a good offensive, if you're a good quarterback, if you're a good player and you see inept coaching, you should point it out, because the whole idea is obviously to be better and win. This does seem to fit something Stroud has done and is willing to do.
Yeah, and like, I know this is a weird comparison because you're talking about a future Hall of Famer in a different sport, but it almost gives like LeBron vibes, like wherever he goes,
He's playing GM.
He's playing GM, and it just seems like nobody is ever the right fit for him. He's never happy with. I mean, you can't really say play calling.
He was happy
but
with Spoelstra.
I mean, yeah,
not
but
to
like
get lost in the weeds all, here, but
at other teams, it just seems like he's always had like an issue with who's calling things.
He
did
try to get Spoelstra fired.
Yeah,
okay, that's fair. And now we're seeing this
thing with CJ, where it's just like, okay, dude, like what? What fits for you then? Like, what do you want? We can't create the perfect coach.
I see what you're saying. It's also a fact of like, I'm not, it's like, I think he's right. You know, like, I'm not, I think he's right. He was right on Slowick. He's right on Caley from what I've seen. And it's not like either of these guys are some established offensive coordinators or any established really NFL coaches in any serious way. So I almost see it as like, it's not even a negative. It's just like CJ Stroud is someone who just doesn't,
who's calling out what we see.
Yeah. It doesn't take BS.
I mean, I get it. If you know what you work well with, then state it. But it's just like, I also have to think that they talk to him about these hirings beforehand, and I feel like
but how much say does he really have?
I'm not saying he has a ton of say, but if DeMeco comes
to him and said, oh, actually, I think in this case it'd be Caserio, because to me, Caley was a Caserio hire. So let's say Caserio comes and is like, hey, we're going to hire Nick Caley, and CJ Stroud says, that guy's dumb, I don't want him. Like, I don't know that they would still go through the hire, but I don't think this is a situation like LeBron where he can literally dictate.
Well, yeah, he's not that level yet.
He can't hire J.J. Redick is what I'm saying.
He's not at, he's at, I guess, the same level as Deshaun Watson in
2020. Yeah, Deshaun Watson couldn't get the GM he wanted hired, and then he got mad and wanted out. Yeah.
They didn't interview, or I think they did like
They interviewed Khan, but then they went back, and apparently Easterby kind of like spearheaded the thing to get Caserio here.
Yeah. Got to convince Ryan Day to come to Houston.
That might be the next step. Like, and honestly, I don't know. I think the failure, and it's something that we talked about yesterday, Sean, but the failure here seems to be that the Texans have now twice willingly, despite investing the second overall pick in a quarterback, decided our best plan to develop and get the most out of this second overall pick is hire two offensive coordinators who have never done it before and be supported by guys like, no offense to Rod Johnson, obviously played at A&M from Humble, love the guy, but a guy in Rod Johnson who didn't have a lot of time in that role, the role he's in either. Like, there's, I don't see how they could have honestly looked at our best possible path to develop, to get where we want to go, is trust the second overall pick with two guys who have never done it before.
And especially with a first-time head coach who's heavily involved on the defensive
side. Right, who
side
can't help out. Like it kind of feels like they put two guys on an island, and they put the guys they chose to put on an island had no experience on how to get the job done.
Yeah, it's amazing Stroud had the rookie season that he had, if all of this is, you know, what you're saying is true. Like, I know it's true, but, like, it's amazing that he had the rookie season that he had with this type of support.
Yeah, it really is, especially because it was something where it, going into the season, when you're comparing him to Bryce Young, going into that season, it was thought of that, like, Bryce Young had a better situation that he was heading into in Carolina than CJ Stroud had in Houston. Like, that was the prevailing
wisdom. That was the popular
thought
for sure.
And obviously we saw how those two rookie years went. And yeah, it's crazy. It's also, that was the best offensive line that he had. And that was like, they were stumbling into George Fant. As like the
that offensive line George. Started poorly, if you remember, like the
they got abused in
seven
Baltimore.
Sacks in the first two games, and then by week three, which I think was against the Steelers, that was their first win that year, like completely turned around, like slow. Like one of his criticisms has always been he can't adjust, but he seemingly did adjust that year.
Yeah,
but like I think the frustrating thing going forward is they've made such glaring errors in their decision making. And to fix it, you're going to have to trust those same two people to make decisions to fix it, right? Like,
yeah,
like I think that's like my concern going forward, and like the concern of, you know, wasting CJ. Well, they've pretty much already wasted his rookie contract. We'll see what happens in the offseason. But like, even if they were to get it right with their offensive coordinator, and that's a huge if, he's probably going to be gone in a year. Because, like, if you get your offensive coordinator and if you finally hit on it, he's going to go, you know, take a head coaching job somewhere.
That's why, to me, like, he has to be an established guy. He has to be an established –
Steve Spagnuolo, but on offense.
Yes, he can't be, like, the young hotshot offense, which is what they've done the last two times, and neither of them have worked out. So, I think in general you're going to look for that. And then to kind of head off what you're talking about, where, I mean, at the very least, like, you get a second year out of a guy because he has some stink on him as far as, like, you know, he has a head coaching record next to his name.
He's got skeletons in the closet that teams are going to wear or like shy away from hiring him as a head coach.
Even if it's like Mike McDaniel, like, type, where it's like he's not going to be an OC, things go well, and immediately get another head coaching.
No, he's going to take him 2 or 3 years.
There's going to be some stink on it. Like, or you go with another guy who might have that kind of track, or a younger guy with that is on the head coaching track, but you just supplement them with a staff with some established coaches, with a like Jim Caldwell type, with these guys that have been there and done that.
Yeah, for sure. And I like the idea of the Mike McDaniel hire. I like the idea of a veteran hire, but I would just like to see them go back to more of a Shanahan, Kubiak, West Coast sort of tree. Because what we see,
Kubiak's got three kids. One of them can be the OC. We can just rotate them.
I mean, what have we seen from guys in that tree? Like Kevin O'Connell. I mean, how many bad to average quarterbacks has he won? Like last year, Matt LaFleur, Malik, you know, Jordan Love gets hurt. He wins two games with Malik Willis. We've seen how much quarterback doesn't matter in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan. They're very offensive or quarterback friendly systems that are able to, in my opinion, more easily get the best out of the quarterback versus the Patriots tree, not to beat the dead horse, but has only worked under Tom Brady because there's so much that goes into it that makes it one of the more complicated offenses to learn. Like, and there's so many options that, you know, the wide receiver has to see the exact same thing as the quarterback at the exact same time in order to make that route or make that work. And you're trying to pull that off with a young quarterback and then multiple rookie wide receivers. Yes. It just seems like something that's destined to fail. Anyway, we got to get to break. Matt in League City is on hold. We'll get you to you on the other side, so don't go anywhere. When we get back, we'll talk some college football. We'll talk some NFL and maybe some more Texans if we have time. Bullpen returns in a couple minutes. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in to the Bullpen. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Here with you until 1:30 before we hand it over to Aggies versus Auburn. And programming note, the three of us, unfortunately, John, I assume, will be in studio running this bad boy, trying to think keep things on the track. But the three of us, Cam, Sean, myself, will be in Kima next week. Cam, you didn't know about that, right?
Nope.
Okay, Cam's finding out live on air.
Heck yeah!
We're in Kima next week at the Kima Boardwalk.
Oh, wait.
As a part of their Oktoberfest.
The weekend I'm out of town.
Are you serious?
I have a wedding to go to.
All right,
to.
Sean and I out at Oktoberfest as we were
Are
last
you kidding
year, Sean.
Me?
Yeah. When after the show, we got to watch Vandy finish off the upset of Alabama.
At Bubba Gump's. On one TV, we're watching Vandy, their historic win against Bama. On the other TV, we're watching Forrest Gump. And so things
it
really
was
worked
it
out.
Was the perfect day. It was
we'll miss you, Cam.
Day. We'll miss you, Cam.
I'll order some shrimp for you.
Yeah, yeah. What type of shrimp should I order in your honor? Again, shrimp cocktail,
bubble gum shrimp.
Popcorn shrimp,
fried shrimp.
You a coconut shrimp guy?
Shrimp scampi.
I pretty much eat all shrimp.
All right. Alfredo. We'll order all the shrimp for Cam and send you photos.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. So come out and join us next week. We'll be 12 to 2 out there on the Kima Boardwalk as a part of their Oktoberfest. But not Cam because he's a loser. He's got other things to do. All right. Right now, let's go out to the HRP listener line. You can also call or text us on that at 713-780-3776. Let's talk to Matt in League City. Wants to talk college football. What do you got going on for us, Matt?
Hey, guys. Love the show, man. What do you think about this matchup with LSU and Ole Miss and the Auburn Aggies game this week? And a follow-up question, how does Jeremy Branham still have a job? Good Lord.
Last one first, Brian.
Who should answer the last one? I love Jeremy. Jeremy deserves to have his job. He's very talented. Sean, I'll let you handle LSU Ole Miss here in a second, but I think the Aggies are gonna roll today. Like I when I say roll, I don't mean it's gonna be some 30-point like a game like you would have against a directional score or anything. But I think the Aggies win. I think the Aggies cover, which last time I saw was 7.5. I mean, this Auburn team. Not that the Aggies are going to repeat 10 sacks like Oklahoma did a week ago, but Oklahoma's pass rush just absolutely obliterated Auburn. Really a game that Auburn's probably going to look back if you're an Auburn fan and say they should have won. They had so many things go up. They had like a number of missed passes that like I forget the sophomore wide receiver's name off the top of my head. But he had several plays where he burned his man. Cam Coleman, and just the pass sailed over his head. A couple of series they could have had touchdowns, didn't get it. And obviously they had a fumble return to the house that got overturned on replay, which I thought was pretty questionable. So I think Auburn fans would probably think they should have won that game at OU last week. But still, I think A&M at home, Mike Elko defense, we know how well he generates pressure. Auburn just gave up 10 sacks the week before. Plus, Marcel Reed of that offense is playing better than we've seen. So I think the Aggies roll and cover.
Agreed.
Agreed.
A&M's got two legit wide receivers. By legit, I mean could get drafted within the first like two or three rounds in the NFL draft. And yeah, I mean, they're not turning the bar over. I think Marcel Reed has one interception in three games, and it was a weird, flimsy pass against like Notre Dame. So outside of that turnover, Reed's basically paid perfect all year.
So what are your thoughts on LSU? Go ahead and talk about the Aggies. LSU Ole Miss.
The biggest surprise for the A&M offense, not really surprise, but the biggest like standout part of it is that they're so explosive on offense. And in a game against Auburn, where Auburn so far this season just has not been able to do anything through the air, it's going to be a really interesting matchup of a team that can score really fast versus a team that has to kind of march it down the field against a good defense. Also, you got some body blow theory with the Auburn coming off a tough game in Norman, having to immediately now play the Aggies coming off a bye week.
Back-to-back road games, too.
Yeah, so, it's a tough spot for Auburn. LSU, Ole Miss, obviously the biggest news with this game. You hear about this, you see this. Linebacker, defensive captain, one of the best players on LSU.
He's engaged to...
Not engaged?
Okay. They're
Instagram official. They announced on Monday that Whit Weeks and Landry Kiffin are now Instagram officials.
Lane Kiffin's daughter.
Kiffin's daughter are dating. They announced that this week of all weeks, which I really enjoy.
I don't know the full thing with Lane Kiffin's daughter, but seeing the news, like apparently she's putting out slideshows at inappropriate times, like news that that's coming. Like it doesn't seem like there's a great relationship
between dad and
daughter.
I think Lane Kiffin's a bleepster, and I think his daughter's also just a bleepster. Like I think
now making Instagram official the week you're playing that
team. I think it's a troll move by someone who's raised by a troll.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I guess.
But talking about the more specific in the game, it's going to be tough for LSU's offense. I mean, they were questioned, the first question of a press conference after beating Florida, that Brian Kelly didn't like the line of questioning by LSU media after they scored 17 or 20 and beat Florida. And I think it's going to be another tough one. Their running back, Caden Durham, is doubtful for the game later today. So it's going to be a slugfest, or it's going to have to be all on Garrett Nussmeier to really just sling it all over the yard.
He hasn't really been able to do that this year.
Let's
stick for that. I'm interested in what you think about this, guys, because Garrett Nussmeier came into the season with, I think, some kind of hype of, you know, top 10 pick, maybe even top overall pick in the NFL draft. Offense, I mean, what did they score, like 20 against Clemson? Like the offensive output, I don't think has really matched, because the season's passed. With LSU, it was always, well, they can score 100 points per game, but their defense
it was like that last year. Like, they've just kind of flipped as a team.
Yeah, they invested a lot through the transfer portal and NIL to get a good defense in, and it certainly paid off, but it feels like that offense has taken a step back. Or have you fallen, I guess, less in love with Garrett Nussmeier this season? Do you still think he's that same guy, and they're just figuring things out?
I think, to me, like, I'm kind of back to neutral with them, because I thought he was a guy who had talent but turned the ball over too much. The good thing is, he hasn't turned the ball over that much. They had two offensive linemen get drafted really early in last year's draft. So I think that's part of where the running game, it all just stems from the offensive line of they can't block for the running game, so that makes the passing game harder. Now they can't. They're also not very good at pass blocking, and now they're behind the sticks. And now it just kind of, the problems are mounting on each other a little bit. So they're going to have to get things figured out at least a little bit against Ole Miss, because they have a pretty solid defense, and their offense this year has just been completely insane. They came in with not a Heisman like favorite at quarterback, but someone who is a legitimate Heisman contender in Austin Simmons at quarterback, and he got hurt against Kentucky and might have got Drew Bledsoe'd. He might have gotten his job taken from him by Trinidad Chambliss, the Ferris State transfer who they're going to be rolling with now. And he is another guy who's just like, it's just bombs. He is going deep.
Four verts.
Yes. And he is running. That is it. I think it's going to be an interesting spot for Chambliss going up against a really good defense for the first time.
And before we go to break, Cam, I'll start with you. The other big game of the weekend, obviously, we talked about Oregon and Penn State earlier. We obviously just talked about LSU and Ole Miss. What's your pick, Cam and Sean? Cam first. Georgia, Alabama. Who you got in this game?
Oh, Georgia. Yeah.
I'll also go with Georgia. Kirby Smart is 1-6 against Alabama, but that was last year, and all Nick Saban.
And Nick Saban ain't walking through that door.
Yes, yeah. I'm willing to hand wave it a little bit. It is interesting that there is less steam on this game than in years past.
Is that because of, big part of that is Nick Saban's not there, so that provides some of it. But to me, it's also kind of a, like Ty Simpson is not in like an Connor Stockton, I think, is people learned his name last year because he came in the SEC championship game against Texas. Mm-hmm. But like, is this feels like kind of a the least sexy the quarterback matchup has been for Georgia Alabama in a while.
Well, it's even less about like the quarterbacks to me. It's more about how many teams in the last decade, how many Alabama teams in the last decade would beat this Alabama team?
Most of them.
9 or 10?
Yeah.
How many Georgia teams of the last decade would beat this Georgia team?
Most of them.
I think that's part of it, is that they're getting judged against themselves. And I think Georgia is still a contender. I think Alabama is still a contender to, like, if you tell me that they win the national championship, I wouldn't be stunned that they do it. They're not that far away to me. I just think that it's a little bit of that, where they're getting judged against themselves. And it's a stack weekend, and this is a matchup that we've seen a lot. We saw it, what, 2 times a year? For a couple of years, where they'd play in the playoff and then play in the SEC title game and then play in the playoff,
right.
And so there's a little bit of diminishing returns there. But yeah, give me the dogs and Athens.
Yeah, I'll take the dogs too. Like both of these teams, I think had obviously now Alabama's rough spot was actually losing against Florida State. Georgia's rough spot was just playing
almost
it too
losing.
playing it too close against Austin Peay, and then like you said, almost losing against Tennessee. But I mean, if you're looking at like where are they most tested, Georgia went on the road, and even though it was close and you could nitpick their play a little bit, they still won at Tennessee. Whereas Alabama's best win is Wisconsin, who's probably going to fire the coach before their year's over. Yeah. So
and their loss to Florida State looks
and worse. The loss to Florida State looks even worse after last night. All right, we're going to wrap up the college football conversation there. On the other side, when we get back, it's time for our prize picks and our NFL game picks. When we get back in the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, but welcome back. It's the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. With you here until 1:30 before we hand it over to Aggies versus Auburn. And speaking of college football, Joe's Notre Dame Fighting Irish really putting on the Hogs 42-10. Either way, it is a complete ass-kicking in Little Rock there. I don't know if Sam Pittman's going to make it through the season. I don't know if he's going to make it to tomorrow. I think we could have a Mike Gundy situation there pretty soon. But, gentlemen, let's get into our price picks and our NFL game picks. We'll have a little bit of a shorter segment as we attempt to get back on the clock. We'll talk Astros next segment, then Mount Rushmore at 1:15. If you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and start first with my price picks, and I'll just rattle off all three because they all happen to be from the same team. That's because Swarm Baby, the Texans win. These are all from Texans players. See what you guys think of these. First one is Kymie Fairbairn over, or what's the language of price picks, Sean? Is it more?
More.
Okay, my bad. I'll get the branding
Jesus
right here.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Rookie, like, what was your first day here?
Yeah.
Come on, bro. You knew? So Kymie Fairbairn more than 1.5 field goals. He's made 6 field goals so far, multiple field goals in 2 of those 3 games, which would obviously hit the more. In the only game he didn't hit the more, he hit 1 and he missed 1. So he's going to have the opportunity to hit. He's generally a pretty good kicker. So I'll take the more there. The more or less for Will Anderson Jr. sacks is a half, which is pretty normal. But I think it's I'm just going to take the more side. He's got a sack in every game. They're playing if one of the worst offenses in the league. The only reason they're not the worst offense is because that belongs to the Texans. So I think Willie Anderson Jr. gets another sack. He's got 3 in the season, 1 in each game so far. And my final one, see what you guys think here. C.J. Stroud more than 16.5 rushing yards so far in 3 games. He's rushed for 22, 27, and 32. So he's been more than that every single game. So give me more on C.J. Stroud, 16.5 rushing yards. Will Anderson just has to get 1 sack. The more or less is half a sack, and then Fairbairn more than 1.5 field goals. Any
okay, one, yeah, yeah. I think they're all pretty solid. I mean, you can even get the demon play of 2.5 more on field
ooh.
Goal.
What's the payout?
It's
there?
Just an increased payout. I mean, I'll have to.
Yeah, no, you don't have to dig into that much.
Is it the green demon or the orange one?
It's the red one.
Oh, the red one.
I consider it, but because it's the Titans, I think maybe one of the possessions that would have normally been a field goal turns into a touchdown.
Yeah. It's basically one and a half.
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous.
The multiplier is 1.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Man, that is tempting. But I think I'd stick with the 1.5 number. Cam, what's your first prize pick for this week?
My first prize pick is James Cook over 75.5 rushing yards against New Orleans.
More.
Come on, branding, pal.
What did I say?
You said over.
Oh, my bad. Yes. Rephrase. James Cook, more than 75.5 rushing yards against New Orleans. He's averaged 110 the last 2 games or something.
I mean, game script would say the Bills are going to be up by infinity. The only worry there
15-point favorite.
Is the Bills are one of those teams that even though they get up and the game script says run, they'll run it, but it might be Ty Johnson. It might be Ray Davis.
Yeah.
So that's the only concern there, but I like that number, Sean.
My first one, I'll go with Matthew Golden, Sunday Night Football.
Welcome.
More than 46.5 passing yards against the Dallas Cowboys pass defense.
The Cowboys defense is
really
trash.
You could get me some Wicks. You can get me some Dubs. You can get me some
Tucker Kraft. Yeah, I think if the number is similar to what you said, 46.5?
Yeah, Wicks is 40.5.
I think I would play more on at least 4 Packers targets, and I think you named the 4 Wicks, Dobbs, Golden,
Kraft,
yeah,
or you could even go Jordan Love. I mean, just
get them all
pick
in your lineup.
Pick on the Cowboys.
Yeah, get them all in your lineup. Cam, what's your next one?
Drake May, more than 214.5 passing yards against the Carolina Panthers.
I don't hate that.
Yeah,
I don't hate that. I think that number is not a bad number. Because this feels like a game he's probably going to go throw for like 230, 240.
But I mean, he still averages about like 235, 240 this year.
Still an easy cover.
And to me, I know they beat the Falcons last week 30-0. It seems like a game that's destined to be close late, and you're going to get a 2-minute drive where he's passing for 65 yards. You know, like you're just going to get that drive.
And New England's not trusting their running backs right now because Stevenson can't hold on to the ball and Henderson hasn't really produced
and
anything.
And Gibson also fumbled that.
Yeah, Ramondre fumbled twice. Gibson fumbled once. I mean, I hope this is the week Travion becomes
I looked into it. I want to see it for a week before I hop on.
No, I'm not saying play him in fantasy unless you're in one of those crazy leagues that rewards return yardage. But I think we're getting close to the point where Travion takes over. Sean, what's your next pick?
Next one, let me go Ravens, Chiefs. Let's go Lamar Jackson more than 46.5 rushing yards. This is another. It's a little bit of the college football big game quarterback rushing mores is just the idea of you're going to have to get yards by any means necessary here. Last week, Lamar got sacked a few times where it looked like he was hesitant.
Ryan spied him really well.
Yeah, and it looked like he was a little like hesitant. He wanted to like from the scramble throw the ball. I think there might be a little bit of a correction here. Also, in previous matchups against the Chiefs, which they play at least
every
once
year.
Yeah. The one thing that the Ravens can consistently do is have Lamar Jackson run the ball on him. So that is something that's held for a couple years now. So give me the more on 46.5 rushing.
All right, let's get to our NFL game picks, Cam. If you'll pull up that screen, we were running a little short on time, so we'll have to cut the prize picks off there. But I think we're going to make some people some money this week with those picks. So Cam, quickly update us on the standings, and then let's get into the games this week.
So going into week 3, in first place is myself at 7-3. Followed by B-Mac at 6-4.
Boom.
Sean at 3-2 because he missed last week.
I thought Sean texted. I did not
want to bother him.
Yeah, that was actually fair.
And then at the very, very below the barrel, not even the bottom, below the barrel.
He's hiding his face right now.
Is John at 1-9.
Oh, Johnny. 1-9. Like, we joked last week.
A clean sweep last week.
Sean, you missed this because we pointed out that Johnny was 1-4 the week prior. And like, let's let John go first so we could just pick opposite. And
it worked out.
Well,
it sounds like that's going to be the strategy again. So,
should we make John go first here?
By all means,
Johnny. You're going first on all these, big boy. All right.
Okay.
First game, Cam.
First game, Houston versus Tennessee.
So this is straight up, right?
This is straight up,
Johnny.
Okay, I'm taking the opposite pick of my initial reaction. So I'm taking Tennessee here.
He's picking Tennessee.
He's going Costanza. All right. If I always make the wrong choice, I'll make the opposite choice.
I'm thankful that the man that's younger than me made that reference, so I didn't have to. Thank you. Thank you for that, Sean.
George.
You saved me. Damn right. Forever, brother. So you saved me there. So Johnny goes Titans. He's leaning into that 1-9.
It's straight up, right?
It is straight up.
Give me the Texans.
Texans as well.
Texans as well for me.
Johnny, that's a good start, brother.
Now, if it was against the spread, I would.
If Johnny turns out to be right,
that's bad.
Kill me. All right, next game.
Pittsburgh versus Minnesota.
Johnny,
I'm taking Minnesota.
Sean,
I'm not going to do this every time, but I legit give me Pittsburgh. I'm not doing it because of
you. Is it because Carson Wentz?
Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers versus Carson Wentz, and I think. There's word from Dublin, the streets of Dublin, that Pittsburgh fans have just taken it over.
Mm, okay. I will begrudgingly pick – give me the better defense. I'll take Minnesota. I don't love it. I think that if there's a play in that game, it's the under.
Yeah.
We saw what happened. We've seen what happens at college football when they play in Ireland. The weather's always atrocious. Yeah. The field conditions are always terrible. So my favorite play would be under there, but I will take the Minnesota side, Cam.
Yeah, I wanted to lean Pittsburgh, but Minnesota just has a better run game right now. And Aaron Rodgers, to be honest, has looked just about as good as Carson Wentz did last week.
Old people don't do well in the cold and rain, man.
I'm going to go Minnesota, too.
All right, next game.
Los Angeles Rams versus Indianapolis.
Remind me, this game is in L.A., right?
It is.
Johnny's got to go first. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking Indianapolis.
All right, I was already going to go Rams. Made it even easier. I'm going Rams.
Likewise, also Rams for me.
Yeah, give me the Rams.
that started off as a bit there, but that's actually true on that one, Johnny.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to gimmick that one to make it. All right.
Honestly, you're the tiebreaker for me. I was thinking about going Colton when you went Colton.
All right, so we got two games left, Cam?
Two games left.
All right, what's the next one?
Kansas City versus Baltimore.
Johnny?
I'm taking KC.
God, this is not a bit. Baltimore's the more talented team. Give me the Ravens. I just don't trust. I think both these, the Ravens' defense has been pretty suspect against the run. But thankfully, they're facing a team of the Chiefs that has no legit running backs. So I will take the more talented team. Give me the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm taking Baltimore, too. And I don't understand John's AFC West picks. Every time he picks a team not the Chargers, he loses.
Really?
I think that he would grasp this by now, but no. All right, so...
Baltimore.
My bad. There it is.
The funniest possible thing could happen, and John goes 5-0.
Yeah, you know what? For the sake of the show, I hope it happens.
Yeah,
The sake of team content, I hope it happens. All right, now we're last game against the spread. Sean, Cam?
It's the Bucks versus the Eagles, 3.5. Philly is favored by 3.5.
In Tampa?
It is in Tampa.
So Tampa favored by 3.5 in Tampa Bay. Johnny, what's your pick?
Eagles.
I'm taking Tampa Bay.
3.5 is a good number, man.
Hats off to Vegas.
Hats off to Vegas. But I'm trying not to make this a bit, but I'm going to go Eagles. Baker Mayfield is dealing with the biceps injury. They're beat up on the offensive line. Mike Evans is going to miss this game. I think it's too much for the Eagles to for the Buccaneers to overcome. Give me the Eagles minus 3.5.
Yeah, for almost every exact reason you just said, I'm also going with the Eagles. Or wait, did you say you're going with the Bucks?
No, I said Eagles.
Oh, okay, Eagles. Yeah,
no,
Eagles.
Johnny's going with the Bucks. Yeah, I'm going with the Eagles.
Eagles here.
You know what? Out of solidarity, John.
Bucks 3.5.
Give me the Bucks.
Bad move, Sean.
Historically, you messed up there.
statistically, that is the wrong
choice. You messed up there. All right. We got to get to the break, talk about the Astros, unfortunately, on the other side of the break, who are possibly ending their season tonight, depending on what happens in Anaheim and also a couple other places around Major League Baseball. That when the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.